Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot.
And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Jeremy Elias. He is the founder and chief executive officer of Track My Solutions. Jeremy, thanks for joining me today.
Morning, Dr. Nick. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and very excited to talk about some industry topics and get to know you and allow everyone to get to know Track My.
Fantastic. So for the benefit of the listeners, share a little bit of your background and how you came to this role and creating this company.
Absolutely. So really, there's two events that I talk about around conception of the company. There's a professional and a personal side of this. So I'll start with the professional. From a healthcare industry perspective, for the last 10 to 11 years, I've been working in healthcare IT and working with our hospital and health system clients in the United States around meeting meaningful use and the government regulation that's out there, now named promoting interoperability. And I was working with our hospitals, and one of the data elements that they need to capture is the unique device identifier, or UDI. So very simple on that, just think of that as a identifying number or serial number for a given product.
Just like the car's VIN code,
right? Right, exactly, got it, exactly right. And I was working with them and saying, you need to document this and check the box and be able to have that information in the chart. But then I realized that's all that needs to be done. And literally, hospitals are just checking the box. In comes the personal event. And my best friend's grandfather actually is no longer with us. He passed away from a recalled battery in a pacemaker. And I said, wait a second. So I'm telling hospitals that they need to capture this data, and that could be used to identify things like recalls or product defects, et cetera. And quite frank, he could still be with us here today if we knew that his device was having issues and we could have got ahead and preemptively got the issue fixed. So I was sitting up. My wife likes to tell the story actually at 2 a.m. in the morning, searching the patent database, trying to find, is there anything out there that is doing this? And I didn't find anything. I didn't find anything around notifying the patient directly, anything around recall tracking. So we set out right then to create the company. I was still gainfully employed at my full-time employer. And the last 2.5 years have been mainly nights, weekends, holidays, a lot of sacrifices on that perspective, respect to get the company to where it's at. And up about 4 months ago, right before Thanksgiving, I shifted away from my corporate job and dedicated my full-time involvement with TrackMy. And we're really starting to build the company and integrate in hospitals and surgery centers, et cetera, because this is a real issue.
So first of all, I'm sorry to hear about your friend's grandfather. And I think, tragedy that's avoidable is one that, we should absolutely be focused on. And I applaud you for sort of going into that. Secondly, I feel sorry for your wife because she was obviously awake at 2 a.m. as well, because she wouldn't be able to tell that story otherwise. So you were clearly keeping her awake, which, not a good husband there, just saying. But then, you went and looked and you found nothing. So there is literally nothing in this space that is tracking and offering us insights into what's in people's bodies and, how to sort of follow up and make sure that they stay up to date?
Yeah, so what we found, nothing in the actual patent database around any kind of system for recall tracking or adverse event tracking. What we did find is some companies that are doing some decent job around the supply chain side of the house. So in terms of taking things off the shelf, so if a hospital has, let's say a particular lot of items, then what they do is there's some tools that will alert the hospital that this device has been recalled and you need to take it off the shelf. But as we continue to pry and press into this and, calling hospitals and just asking point blank, nothing goes down to the patient level. And then it kind of created this whole idea and this urgency around the consumer side of patients walking around not having any idea what they have in their body. So a whole big part of our business, we basically have kind of two sides of our business. So we've got our consumer facing side, and then we've got the technology side where we work with hospitals and surgery centers. But on the consumer side, I've talked with thousands of patients and just ask them, what is in your body? And they answer me, I may have a Medtronic knee, I might have a J&J stent or whatever the product is. They may know the manufacturer name, but they have no identifying information on the product. So we kind of kept prying in that space and said, okay, well, what do you get when you have a surgery? And a lot of times patients will get these, you know, business cards or these implant ID cards, the paper-based copy of it, and it has the identifying information sometimes. Sometimes it has parts of the identifying information. And what we realized is patients lose that. You know, a week goes by, they wash it in the washer, they misplace it. Can't tell you how many, even a, you know, credit card you may have sitting around the house you forgot about. So patients lose their information. And then we realize, well, wait a second. Hospitals aren't doing a good job of keeping this information either. And there's some regulation out there where after 7 years, they can delete it. They're not required to keep it on record after 7 years. And we realize, oh, wow, if the patient's not looking out for themselves and the hospital's not looking out for the patients, and then the manufacturers lose record once they sell the product, it's kind of a no-brainer of why we're in this situation. Patients aren't finding out about these recalls, and it's leading to a lot of complications. You know, in my example, is the far end, and it leads to a fatality. But I can tell you countless examples of patients that are walking around with recalled devices that don't even know they're recalled, but they're adding up a lot of pain and suffering. They're adding up a lot of health plan costs, you know, running additional scans and MRIs, you name it, trying to figure out, are there, you know, is there an issue with this, or what is the issue for this patient? When quite frank, it could be tied to a recall. And that's, we just started to realize this over the last 2 years of kind of researching and looking into this market and really proving the point that there's nothing that's notifying the patient and looking out for the patient.
So two things really stand out to me as you're sort of describing this that are surprising, even though I've spent a lot of time in, you know, healthcare technology. The first is that essentially the mechanism was a paper-based card or something that was given to the patient that was their tracking mechanism, and by the way, didn't include all of the information. So, you know, number one. And then the second, and I want to be sure this is true, even when they intersect with the healthcare system, it's still not apparent that there's a problem or there could be a problem with that device because nobody knows, they're not connecting the dots. Is that true?
That is true. I'll use an example that's out in the public space right now. And have you heard of a documentary called The Bleeding Edge?
Yes.
Okay, so within the Bleeding Edge documentary, we actually created a lot of our big patient advocacy side of our business and working with Angie Firmolino, that's featured in The Bleeding Edge around the Escher Women's Health product. But further, the opening story in that documentary is a surgeon, an orthopedic surgeon named Dr. Tower in Alaska. And he actually, long story short with him, he had a hip, and it was a metal-on-metal hip that was basically causing blood poisoning and causing dementia. He didn't realize this until after he had had the hip for several months and basically, in essence, went insane. And then he said, wait a second, something's got to be going on here. So he did some blood testing, and what he realized is that his cobalt levels were off the chart. And looking in, that's when he realized he had the metal-on-metal hip was made of cobalt. And what was happening with that hip is it was grinding back and forth and grinding the tissue around the hip, causing metallosis or metal poisoning. And the reason I share that story is he had no idea at the time, and quite frank, that the product had been recalled. And there are countless patients that are walking in to hospitals and getting diagnosed with dementia when, quite frank, it's tied to a recalled implant that's causing metallosis. So a big part of our business as we kind of go into the future here is, yes, today we're creating, you could think of it as a national or a global implant registry to allow for patients to, you know, have their information. But where we're really going is to use that information to improve outcomes and come up with new things like clinical decision support tools and such, where we could actually help clinicians know if a patient walks in, they're showing signs of dementia, you need to check for a cobalt level. Furthermore, you need to check and see if they have a metal-on-metal hip that has been recalled. So that's some of the cool new things that we're trying to do. Of course, you got to start somewhere and start capturing accurate data.
So I just, you know, and again, the more you sort of peel back the covers on this, the more my jaw just continues to drop that we've been so poor at this follow-up and, you know, focus on what, you know, is an inevitable problem. I mean, the idea that you put something in and it's going to last for lifetime is just, I think, an impossible idea. what we've learned over the course of time is that, you know, the body created some extraordinarily brilliant engineering and mechanics, you know, just pick the heart, the joints, all of these things. And, you know, you look at that in most folks and they sort of survive this extended period. But, you know, creating something that does is a near impossible task. We haven't been able to replicate, you know, that engineering capacity. And then when we create these artificial solutions and, you know, things that we put in the body, they just don't survive in the same way. But I guess nobody sort of thought about it in terms of the long-term consequences and the follow-up. And here you have a physician, so actually somebody that's right in the system, embedded in this, who's going, there's something wrong, but I can't quite work it out, and there's nothing there. So I just think, you know, it's a need that's just so current as we sort of expand and all become sort of cybernetic organisms of some form. We're all going to have something in us, you know, because right. Essentially we're all driven by age-related declines in different parts of our bodies, and, you know, replacing that I think is going to be part of it. So you've essentially created a solution. That's what Track My Solutions is. Tell us a little bit about that company and what it is that you're doing and what you've currently got in place.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So really, it's, you know, quite frank, Dr. Nick, it's rather simple when you kind of step back and think about it. So as I answer this, I'll kind of start with one of the reasons we're in this industry and we have this opportunity is because prior to what's called the UDI rule, that's, you know, affectionately known as the UDI rule, passed in about 4 years ago, I believe it's 2016, there was no central database of identifying products for every single implant that goes out in the marketplace. So when the UDI rule passed, it required manufacturers to stamp that unique identifier or device identifier on the product. So that's kind of put us in this revolution, if you will, where we can actually start tracking. So what we did then from there is kind of parlaying on top of that regulation to say, okay, great. It's excellent that you now require manufacturers to stamp the device identifier on the product. Now it's how do we make sure hospitals are capturing that? And furthermore, how do we make sure that gets down to the patient? And that's exactly what our solution does. So irregardless of how you are capturing the device identifier data, so kind of referencing back to my opening around that promoting interoperability regulation. So if you're a CMS Medicare hospital, which I think is about 85 to 90% of the U.S. market, you're required to have the ability to capture that device identifier. So we're assuming that hospitals are doing the right thing with having the ability to capture it. So when we come in from our solution, we understand, okay, where are you capturing it? Say it's in Cerner, say it's in Epic, Allscripts, whatever EMR it's going into. We have an integration tool through what's called Smart on Fire, which is the new way of exchanging healthcare data, FHIR. So we are able to integrate into that EMR, and through the click of really two buttons, send the data from the EMR down into our Track My database. We create the patient account. We have the device identifiers for the patient. And then it triggers our recall algorithm, where we've went and we've built an interface and an API connection to the FDA recall databases. And quite frank, we're monitoring every single day. A process is running to look at all of our users in the Track My system and all the device identifiers, and take those and cross map them to the FDA recall data. Now, I say it's simple, but we've had to do a lot of data mining and data structure with the FDA data, because if you've taken any look at that, it's not very clean data. It's an ongoing challenge. So we have to, you can think of it as they do a big data dump into a database and say, here it is. So we have to take all that and structure it and make it usable. But once we do that, it's quite simple to just continue to monitor our users and patients to the FDA data. And if we get a match, we send out a positive recall notification to the patient, the surgeon, and the hospital, assuming they're a client of ours. So everybody finds out about the recall at the same time and as quick as we can.
So as you look at this, so, you know, there's multiple parties in here, and obviously there's as you described it, both personal and professional. And there's an aspect to this that says, you know, this is clearly for a hospital because they need to solve this problem. But, you know, the patient may have moved on. So, you know, the capacity to keep. So are you engaging with all of it? So is the hospital the economic buyer here, or is there a piece of this that the patients can take? Because I know I, as an individual, would think about this from a purely personal standpoint and say, well, if I've got this going on, I want to track this. You know, I want a solution. Is there components of that in your world?
There is. So we actually did a lot of deep thinking around when we go and we create this application, because it is a patient-facing web application. So you as a patient have an account, you know, you have your information out there. It never gets deleted. We don't follow the 7-year rule where we're able to delete it. It's yours forever. We spent a lot of time thinking about, is there value in looking to charge the patient? We kind of took a step back and said, you know what? That's not the right thing to do. So our accounts for patients are completely free. So no charge for the patient. You can go out to trackmyapp.us today and create a free patient account. Now, herein lies the issue. If you go to do that, you have to have your information. And that's kind of the whole opening conversation is patients don't have their information right. As soon as after the surgery happens. So we then set out and said, okay, this has to be within the hospital and surgery center workflows. Right. So economic buyer are those two entities today, hospital and surgery center. There's kind of two main things when we go and we talk with them. I'm flying out tonight to talk with another group. I was talking with one yesterday down in Florida. There's two things. It's focused on increasing the patient safety, which is clearly the right thing to do.
Yep.
The second one is around liability reduction. And basically, there have been countless lawsuits where providers have been found liable for negligence, for not notifying patients when they had the ability to do so. Now, I don't share that to be a scare tactic or threatening by any means. It's more so, it's a shared responsibility matrix of every individual party here. So that's the other. And then the third one is really a process improvement. So what we found is hospitals do a pretty good job about pulling it off the shelf. But when it comes down to a patient and notifying a patient, it really stops right there. So we come in and we say, you could completely evolve and close your loop of your recall process with TrackMyApp. So we find the patients for you. We send the notifications out. We track all of that for a liability perspective, and it's a closed loop system. And your patient never loses trust with you as the surgeon or the physician. That's a big thing right now in our world. I think there's a stat out there where in the U.S., the only thing that's dropped more in terms of trust is our trust with Congress than our trust with our physicians. So trust across the across the mechanism here, across the ecosystem. You never want to lose trust with your patients, because if you lose trust with your patients, that's when litigation comes in. That's when they feel compelled to launch a lawsuit. Very negative things that, you know, quite frankly, could be averted with our solution.
Right. So for those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and today I'm talking to Jeremy Elias. He is the founder and CEO of TrackMy Solutions. We were just talking about the solution that's in place and how it's delivered through essentially hospital systems because they have the information. And it seems to me that, you know, that's really the sort of onboarding point to get patients in, because they would then create an account and be able to continue to track irrespective of their sort of engagement, and that allows them to remain connected. And I think there would be an impetus for the patients to do that. So are you seeing that as part of your sort of implementations and discussions?
Yeah, I'm over the moon here that you shared that. So we just kicked off something we are titling Operation Patient Push. So as part of that promoting interoperability regulation, hospitals, if a patient walks in, so let's do a real scenario here. So I have a hip and I walk into a hospital and I say, hospital, will you please connect my medical record data to TrackMyApp? Legally, to fulfill that regulation, if a patient comes in and asks to connect, the hospital has to respond to them.
Right.
So we're starting to see a real big push and, you know, onus of the consumer driven and really a focus on consumer driven healthcare with empowering patients to walk in and ask for. So not only are we, you know, hitting the ground running with working with hospitals and trying to sign up as many as we can, we also have patients that is, quite frank, a natural extension of our sales force, if you want to think of it that way, of walking in, asking to connect for this, you know, connect to TrackMy, because they see a real value in tracking their data.
Yeah, fantastic. So a little bit of time left, thinking about the future. So clearly a need. I mean, I think that the idea that we don't have this is still sort of a little bit, I'm struggling to even process that, but putting that to one side, my sense is that there's a wide open set of pathways for you to fill, because this doesn't, to me, it doesn't feel like just devices or, you know, in physical devices, but goes much more beyond that. Is that true? Are you sort of thinking about it in those terms as well, from digital therapeutics to biopharma and, you know, beyond?
Yes, we are. So we're looking at all of that. So anything that we can, in essence, track. Kind of two points I'll share on there. So one, unbeknownst to us, we actually are delivering a new value case to a health system that we're flying out to tonight. They actually see the use of TrackMine to track the standard of care for example, IVC filters. So nothing to do with recalls, but just having a tracking mechanism, because there's a standard of care that basically says with an IVC filter, after 30 days post-implantation, you're supposed to review and potentially take that temporary IVC filter out. Well, there's health systems that are losing track of these patients, for example, and they're not notifying and they're not taking these out, and issues come up because they're not following, you know, their standard of care. So right. They're quite frank, just losing track of patients because things are going so fast. So that's one area, is kind of taking us out of the recall realm and just having the data as a whole, there's inherent value with that. But then to take it further, around, you know, things like there was an issue that just came up in the marketplace around gowns getting recalled, so surgical gowns and such. So that's another area that we can offer a solution around tracking some of those. And really, it's all about information sharing. And we're also building, I should have stated earlier, so TrackMy Implants is our first product, but TrackMy Solutions is our company. So we're really looking at any of the medical record data that's in the EMR today, so allergies, medications, et cetera. And we're building actionable solutions with that data. So we've got a natural pipeline of tracked by medications. Should be kind of common sense, kind of looking at our trajectory. So absolutely.
Fantastic. So I think clearly exciting times. You know, it feels like you've arrived right point, right time, and also the opportunity, importantly, you know, with the interoperability that's being driven by this smart on fire technology. And I think also the government, you know, stepping in and saying we're going to make things interoperable to sort of force these issues. Feels like this is an exciting time. Any closing thoughts?
No, I would just kind of in closing mention some things around, you know, we're not here to prove anybody wrong. We're here to just educate and inform. And really one of our big things is focused on information sharing. And you're absolutely right. So, you know, really with the mindset, we're looking at the mindset of it's not just what is required today in terms of, yes, regulation requires X, Y, and Z to be done, but it's what's the right thing to do, and furthermore, what's going to be required tomorrow. And we're really trying to set our clients, our hospitals, our health systems, our patients up for success, not only today, but for the next, you know, 20, 30 years kind of thing. And that's really our big focus. And I'll leave you with our vision. Our vision is to save a life. So I would love to communicate and talk with anybody that is equally passionate and focused on that perspective. So I sincerely appreciate the opportunity here, Dr. Nick, to talk with you and get to know you a little bit.
Fantastic. Just remains for me to thank you, Jeremy, for joining me on the show. And also important to point out that you and I have engaged, and I am an advisor. So I always like to declare any relationships as part of any of these discussions. That's separate from my interest, irrespective of doing that. I really sort of firmly believe, but I just want to be sure that everybody knows that. So I am now an advisor to the company, but that doesn't change any of my thoughts around this. So Jeremy, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Dr. Nick.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, The Incrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.